Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us right now, Howard Beck, the senior NBA writer over at Bleacher Report. Howard, Joe, and Evan, how you doing?
Hi, Howard.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Wonderful.
Fantastic. Let's start with the draft, and then we'll get to all the craziness going on in the NBA. The Knicks at 9. It sounds like Kevin Knox has kind of moved up on their list lately. Trae Young falling to them doesn't seem realistic. They've been attached to both Bridges, Mikal Bridges, Miles Bridges. What's the latest you're hearing about what the Knicks probably do on Thursday night at 9?
I think that this year in particular, and most years period, saying what any team will likely do at the 9th spot is a really dangerous mission. It's just there are drafts that where it's more settled on the top of the board, and you can kind of chart out. But look, even the guys who do this for a living, and I don't, by the way, I'm no draft guru, but if you go to the guys who do these mocks with all the intel that they can gather, who are not just guessing, who are not just speculating, but who are trying to gather as much as about who teams like and who's rising and falling and how the daily workouts are going, and they will still shoot like, you know, maybe 40% on their mock drafts. It's just because it's too fluid, and obviously the deeper you go, the more fluid. But 9, I don't think you can possibly guess. Luka Doncic up until a month ago looked like he was a lock for the top 3 and probably top 2. Now there's talk of him slipping a little bit. I don't know how far, which defies all logic because the guy's done, you know, nothing but continue to win in Spain, including this week. And there's just a lot of fluidity in just terms of how teams view guys like Trae Young and whether he's, you know, truly going to be, you know, another, not Steph Curry, but a Steph Curry type, or is he too small and frail, or at least thin, to hold up in the NBA? By the time you get to 9, the number of guys who go before that or potentially are going before that who are subject to any number of whims and, you know, just, you know, changing perceptions by the other teams ahead of them. It's just a really tough thing to try to chart out.
Is the kid from Arizona the lock number one pick for Phoenix?
That feels like the only sure thing.
Right.
Everybody around the league, it seems pretty certain. And it's interesting because at the time of the lottery, when it became a certainty that Phoenix was picking number one, it was still kind of probably Ayton, but hey, you know, look, their new coach, Igor Kokoskov, coach Doncic in Slovenia. So maybe there's going to be, some preference there. And these guys, you know, these are two very different prospects and with different, upsides and concerns. Like there was an actual debate, at least for a little bit. And then since then, it's become, no, they're all in on Ayton, and I think everybody believes without much doubt. But after that, there's no telling what Sacramento's going to do or Atlanta or Memphis. And so that trickles through, you know, the rest of the high part of the lottery.
The Cleveland thing to me is fascinating because if LeBron James tells me, if I'm the Cavs and he says, I'm gone, well, I'm approaching 8 very differently than if he says, I'm going to stay. How do you make a decision on what to do, whether it's trading the pick, whether it's figuring, hey, this is going to be a post-LeBron world, because I don't think LeBron has said anything to the Cleveland Cavaliers. They probably have no idea what he's going to do. So how do they go about making that kind of decision at 8, not knowing the future of King James?
This is why, not specifically this situation, but this concept or this conundrum is why there's at least been some discussion among NBA officials of flip-flopping the draft and free agency, which I actually believe they should do. I don't think it's ever going to happen, but they have talked about it. They've talked about it in detail about how the calendar would look and everything else, because if you think about it, you know, LeBron's decision is not going to be based on who they might pick at 8 if they keep the pick. That guy's not helping him win a title next year, or the next couple of years probably. But if free agency were starting, say, Thursday, and the draft were a few weeks later, LeBron could say, he could read the landscape, see where Paul George is going, see if Kawhi Leonard's getting traded. People could still be using those future picks as part of maybe some of those deals. And then by the time you got to the draft, the Cavs would know. They'd say, oh, you know what? We couldn't flip the eighth pick for anybody of substance, and we couldn't sign anybody because we're capped out anyway. And LeBron says, oh, all right, well, no reason for me to stay. It's been real, guys. And then he leaves, and then they use the pick. So it's a brief tangent by me, but it's interesting to think about how things would be different in situations like this, right?
I agree with you, and I agree with you on another level, but I understand
NFL
why.
NFL does it. They should do that, too.
Well, not only that, I think that this draft is coming up, and the finals just ended. We're fresh. A lot of people are listening saying, really, now we're talking about this with the NBA? I think in July, if you let the season breathe a little bit more, there'd be more interest. But I guess the problem is the summer league, right? Because you want these kids playing in the summer league, and the summer league, which is expanding all the time, now it's in Utah and Sacramento, and it's starting first week of July. Is that the main issue on ever doing something like this?
It is. It is among the issues, yes, that if you're going to do free agency first and then the draft after it, then you're pushing back the start of summer league. But, I mean, you know, look, you could do summer league at the back end of July or early August. The NBA is certainly interested in making their league a 12-month a year league, and it almost is anyway, just in terms of when you think about, like, the off-season chatter and trades. You know, Kyrie Irving was traded in, what, August, and I think Carmelo was traded in September. You know, if you rejigger the calendar in the off season and flip flop the draft and free agency and push summer league back, you could certainly. Like, I mean, a lot of us would be opposed to that because I don't want the rest of my summer like consumed by all this, and a lot of team officials would feel the same. But there's certainly some advantages to doing it that way.
Howard, LeBron, where's he going?
I don't know. Nobody knows. If anybody tells you they know, they're lying. You know, LA seems to make the most sense on a lot of levels. No, not for contention reasons at the moment, but as I keep saying to folks when this question comes up, the rosters as we see them now, when we try to evaluate, oh, where's the best landing spot? You can't base it on what the rosters look like now, because a year ago at this time, Jimmy Butler was still in Chicago and Kyrie Irving was still in Cleveland and Chris Paul was still in Houston and Paul George was still in Indianapolis. So, like, you know, everything is going to change again. We're going to see more upheaval. And, you know, if LeBron goes to LA, which makes sense for a variety of reasons, but on the competitive side of it, it only makes sense if Paul George is going with him or somebody else is going with him and they make a trade for Kawhi or whatever it's going to be. I don't think he's going anywhere by himself. I don't think he's going anywhere with just a bunch of young guys around him who aren't ready to win. But I also think he's not staying in Cleveland, where that roster just has no potential for growth. And, you know, if at age 33, if he still wants to contend for the next 3 to 5 years, however long his career may go, I just don't see how Cleveland can make that case.
Well, could they make the case by calling up the Spurs and saying, look, we're going to give you the eighth pick in the draft. We're going to give you Kevin Love. I don't know what else we could throw in. A, is that enough to get it done? And B, would that be enough to convince LeBron to stay, to say, hey, we have Kawhi Leonard for a year. Let's go.
I'll answer the second question first. If they were able to somehow get Kawhi, and if they're giving up Kevin Love, and they would have to, like, Kevin Love's the only real piece they have. If you're giving up their only tradable assets are the eighth pick and Kevin Love. If they're both going out in the same deal, now you've got Kawhi and LeBron and, you know, kind of a mishmash of players around him. It's not bad. Is that enough? I don't know. And also, LeBron's not making a decision based on 1 year, and Kawhi can leave after 1 year. LeBron's going to be making a decision based on the next 3 to 5 years. And so, no. And also, like, if you're the Spurs, whenever, like, I'm not convinced, by the way, that Kawhi's definitely getting traded. I still think, because I just have faith in the Spurs and that organization, and we haven't heard anything directly from either them or Kawhi Leonard or anybody speaking on his behalf, I think there's still a chance that they talk and patch this thing up. Maybe. Not predicting it, just saying I don't think anything is a given. If the Spurs decide to trade him, I don't think that's enough. There's going to be better offers out there. Boston, for certain, can make better offers. The Lakers, I think, can make more intriguing offer in terms of just going young. Because, you know, if you're giving up Kawhi Leonard and you're giving up whatever contention window you have, you're not. Kevin Love is not helping that. Kevin Love is you know, mid-career. Unless you're going to flip him again. Also, he doesn't make sense next to LaMarcus Aldridge. You know, you're going to want a package of younger players. So the Lakers can give you a couple, or the Celtics can give you a couple. Philadelphia can make a better offer. So no, I don't see that. I don't see that there's any scenario for Cleveland, frankly, to shore up the roster in a way that makes LeBron believe they can contend still.
Give me a percentage of LeBron staying in Cleveland, or you think that's not happening at all?
I mean, I wouldn't put anything at zero. What I've been advised, you know, multiple times in the last several weeks to months is that this is a decision that's going to be as much personal as it is professional. So that means family is a serious consideration, and, you know, his ties to the region could be a consideration, comfort level, all those other things. And, you know, his sons are a little older now. They're going to have a voice in this that they might not have had in 2014 or when they were younger. So there's always a chance, but I don't think it's very high. I mean, I would put it under 20%, I think.
Wow. Amazing. Wow. Talking to Howard Beck, senior NBA writer at Bleacher Report. Get back to Kawhi real quick, because I understand the Spurs are a different kind of organization. They usually get things right. So I would give them a shot, like you said, to maybe make things right with Kawhi. But what went wrong? I mean, what has caused this to where it's leaked out a few days ago that Kawhi wants out, and obviously he barely played this year and everything that went on with this weird season. But what has caused the rift from what you've heard?
Well, I mean, obviously his trade, you know, request that was reported several days ago was not out of the blue. You know, this is the end point or near the end point of a saga that began early in the season with his injury and some, you know, ambiguity about, you know, whether he was recovered or disagreement about whether he was recovered, and the Spurs medical staff saying he could play and Kawhi and his camp saying, no, he can't. And Popovich kind of throwing that out there when pressed about it, saying, look, ask his camp. We think he's fine. There's a divide. There's a divide over, you know, his medical assessment and medical care. And, you know, that seemingly has never been resolved. Could it still be? I mean, that's the question I have. And that is as, you know, tightly capped an organization in terms of information flow as there is. So we don't really know. We don't know everything. They haven't spoken. And so, you know, in lieu of actual direct information, you know, there's been much more just kind of speculative stuff out there. And some people have done some really deep dive reporting on this. ESPN and the San Antonio Express News have both done some in-depth stories that still really haven't gotten fully to the bottom of this. So it's a hard question to answer because I don't think anybody knows for certain. And by the way, that's a problem in trade negotiations too. If they decide they do want to trade him, if you're another team and you're about to give up, you know, serious assets for Kawhi Leonard, who's on a 1-year deal and could walk away. And on top of that, you need to be assured that he actually is healthy now and can play at the MVP level that he was a year ago. And that his head is right, because it certainly seems like part of this was just him not believing that he was ready to return to the court. I'd be concerned about all of that.
Is it really possible that Kyrie Irving, after he's a free agent after this coming season, would actually go to the Knicks? Is that real or is that just nonsense?
That's one of the weirder subplots or, you know, I don't know, rumors, however you want to put that category, that we've had in the last few weeks. I don't know what to make of that. I mean, Kyrie Irving is kind of a unique individual, I guess is a kind way of saying it. He's got a unique personality. I mean, we keep seeing that with all the flat earth stuff. He's hard to predict. So I wouldn't rule out anything, but I don't know that after spending a couple of years with the Celtics, and granted, you know, this season, you know, injury wiped him out a little bit early, but he was having great success there. He's surrounded by incredible talent with a phenomenal organization that has done nothing but make all the right moves for the last, you know, 10 years or so. Why would he leave that for the Knicks? I don't understand that. Now, and that's not even, by the way, a shot at the Knicks. I mean, it's
definitely a shot at the Knicks. What do you mean? Of course, and deservedly the Knicks won't be good for another 30 years. So what's the difference?
I mean, listen.
I just gave him a shot. I'm a Knicks fan.
I mean, it
they're a disgrace. Porzingis, let's be honest. Howard, they're a disgrace. Let's be honest.
Porzingis is their future. And
yeah.
Porzingis is
when's he going to play again? Who plays first? Him or Cespedes?
Right.
Which one?
Right. So we don't know what Porzingis' actual future holds because of the ACL. And he's a 7'3 guy coming back from an ACL. And other than that, there is nothing to sell Kyrie or anybody else on. So, yeah, I would say I'd be highly skeptical about why he would want to join.
If you were David Fizdale, would you buy a house or rent it? What would you do?
If I were anybody working for this in any capacity, I would rent.
Well, you hit it on the head, though, with Kyrie. And the reason why you can't completely laugh it out or discount it is he is a weird dude.
Obviously. I mean,
the guy.
Yes. If he's even thinking about it, yeah.
Well, he thinks the earth is flat, bro. Well, I mean, why?
Then maybe he is coming to the Knicks.
Maybe. I mean, he also, in that world, thinks the Knicks are good. Who knows?
Maybe he thinks Madison Square Garden is farther from the edge, yeah. And he's just worried he's going to fall off.
Maybe he still thinks it's the Mecca. He's like the only guy, you know?
This is going to be a wild offseason. So you're expecting the landscape of this league to look very, very different as we're sitting around in, you know, early September.
Again, yes. I think last summer, you know, obviously was I don't know that we've ever had anything at that level in just terms of the upheaval, the number of major names that changed teams. And I don't know that we'll hit that same number, you know, if you're adding up Paul George and Kyrie and Chris Paul and Jimmy Butler, you throw Carmelo in there if you want to. I don't know that we're going to get that same number of stars changing teams, but there's going to be serious movement. I mean, LeBron's almost certain to change teams in my mind. I think Paul George, though, there's a lot of, you know, word coming out of Oklahoma that they're confident about him staying. I still think he's going. Kawhi could change teams, as we discussed. So even if it were just those three guys, that would be a pretty big deal. And I think that there's potential for more than that because there's just, you know, there are a lot of teams that are capped out and they can't make moves in free agency. So trade is going to be the only way to really reshuffle their rosters. There's, you know, and there's plenty of discontent out there. When there's discontent or desperation, that's when you see a lot of movement.
From the basketball team I root for, the Brooklyn Nets, should I expect same old, which is, and I don't blame Marks for this because it's not his issue. It's Billy King's issue. Should I expect bid on restricted free agent, lose because team matches, and take on bad contract to get some kind of valuable asset back? Do you expect that formula to continue on for the Nets this offseason?
Maybe. I do think that they want to win this season. I mean, you saw it even last year. Like, that last season, they overachieved. They ruined the Kyrie Irving trade for Cleveland. They absolutely ruined it. Cleveland thought they were getting a top three pick, and the Nets overachieved without D'Angelo Russell and without Jeremy Lin. Yeah. And I think they're going to overachieve again. And because they want to win, you know, it's unfortunate, right? Like, they're starting to trend upward
as they get their picks back.
Their pick. Yeah.
Yeah.
But look, right. but they're doing the honorable thing. They're saying, we don't care. We're not going to obsess about the pick and decide we can't backtrack now. We've been trying to establish a new set of values and a new culture here that's all about, like, busting your butt and winning, even if it's, you know, even if it's just to try to get to 30 wins, which they nearly did last season. Now they're going to, you know, try to take whatever that next step is because they want to show potential free agents and anybody else out there, this is going to be a great place to play. We got a great coach. We've got a really positive atmosphere. No, we don't have the talent to be a playoff team right now, but we're doing it the right way, and we've got great guys who are selfless. Like, that's what they've established, and teams around the league have noticed it. They admire it, and so you got to keep building on that. So to answer your question, yeah, I mean, look, they've got less cap room to play with than they did before because of those moves that you alluded to that they've made. But I think that will continue to be the strategy, will be to be opportunistic in the marketplace and see if they can get somebody who otherwise wouldn't be available to them. If that means overpaying a little, if it means making, you know, trades for guys, they're gonna keep going that direction. And then eventually, obviously, they got to sort it all out. They got to decide, you know, who are the core pieces and who are guys that they can maybe flip for other opportunities.
All right, I got a multiple choice question for you, Howard. All right, you ready? Who wins? You got three possible answers. Who wins an NBA title first? The Knicks, the Nets, or your other option is never. Which one? Where are you going, Howard? Which one are you going with?
Wow. They're both so far off.
Oh, yeah. You're going with never. Is that where you're going, never?
No, I'm not going to go never. There are no nevers. But put it this way. As long as the Knicks are owned by Jim Dolan, I'll put my money on any other team.
Okay.
So I win.
Yeah, you say
I
you
win this at least.
I go never. But I mean, that's
no,
me.
I'm leaning towards never too, Joe. Hey, Howard, we appreciate it, my friend.
Howard, thanks a lot, man.
Howard.
You got it, guys.
Take care.
Senior NBA writer at Bleacher Report. It is typical. The Nets are going to win more games, and they finally have their pick coming up. But the truth is, I got to tell you, and I know you would disagree if you were a Net fan, I want to win. I'm sick and tired. I want to win some games.
I get it. Bro, I totally get it. You want to win.
And here's the thing.
You don't want to win 30 games either. I mean, I understand
that. No, I don't want to win 30. Because I remember, I can't get it out of my mind. How can I? this team losing 70 games and me picking third, or my team picking third. I didn't pick third. The team picking third.
Right.
So what does losing really mean? What does it guarantee? Ended up with Derek Favors instead of John Wall.
No,
it means nothing.
Nope.
So I don't want to sit there through December and January and February and just watch garbage. I want to be entertained. I want to win.
You want to win.
Want to
you
win
don't
something.
Want entertainment. You want to win.
I want to win. Well,
I don't want
that's
entertainment. I want to win.
Yeah, but Joe, that's entertaining.
I guess so.
That's what I mean.
I don't look at it as entertaining. I look at it as like great. You know
well,
what I mean?
Yeah, all right. Say whatever you want to describe it as. Whatever you want to describe it as.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.